in Coconut Grove,
Houston,
or Bayontown, the old women and men will tell you that they see disorder. They see social dislocation.
As compared to where and when?
As compared to 2 years ago?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, based on what? You asked me for statistics.
The behavior of people.
But Mr. Jones, one of the points that I don't think you appreciate is that if you are analyzing impotence or not impotence,
we're talking effectiveness.
Effectiveness. Even when you analyze an effectiveness, you have to look at the initiative. If, as Minister Tengwe said, look at the initiatives that the free national movements are taking. Right? Now, if you discuss them and you say that initiative is ineffective, you have an intelligent debate. But you can't disregard all of the initiatives the FNM has taken, the purchase of all sorts of new equipment, right? The reorganization of the force. Right? I'm not an expert in that area, so I probably will tread slightly.
But you must criticize.
But don't go there, because policemen will criticize you over the reorganization of the force.
If you are going to criticize the initiative, that leads to an intelligent debate. But you can't say that we are impotent or we are ineffective without looking at what we are trying to do.
All right, Mr. Turnquest?
Yeah, please. Yes. Mr. Jones, I mean, you know, you're looking at the murder rate, and the murder rate attracts attention when we talk about.
Stick a pin there. I'm also looking at a report I saw recently that many Bahamians refuse to call the authorities when crimes are reported. When they go in their homes or their businesses and see that someone has broken into their business or their home. But
I can't argue that point, because I mean that's a nebulous claim that will never be able to be checked, that persons are saying that they are victims of crime and they're not reporting.
Yes, that is what I have read. I don't know that is so.
I can't deny it. I can't confirm it. I mean, that's just something that someone says that I don't believe.
Okay.
I don't believe that.
Okay.
I believe that most crimes are reported, and I have to base it on what is reported. And based on what is reported and what the police are able to deal with is how we effectively deal with crime. You see, Mr. Jones, when we talk about a criminal act, and Shivago made that point about what you are able to control or not control. The difference in terms of effectiveness on crime is the response to those criminal acts and the dealing with them and the removal of those criminals from your society. I think that's where you get your effectiveness or ineffectiveness, as the case may be. And so that's why, based on the information that I see on a daily basis, I don't agree with your assertion.
Okay.
Now. I'd be the first to admit, and I say it over and repeatedly, that 52 murders in 8 months of the year, based on any yardstick, is far too high for a society like ours.
I don't want to spend the entire broadcast on social issues, because Bahamians are also concerned with bread and butter issues, the state of the economy. And ministers, Mr. Rowe, Senator Ferguson, a government takes credit for what is going good, and they also should take the credit for what is not going well. The fact of the matter is that the Bahamian economy is not firing on all cylinders. The economy is not going well. And there are many people who are losing their jobs daily. Now, I have read that the economy of some countries of the world are doing much better, that the recession is over in France and other European countries. What can you say about the economy of the Bahamas? When do you think things would get better for the people of the Bahamas that the tourism industry in particular will get better?
And I'm going to let Shivago works in finance, and so he's able to give you a more in-depth analysis of it. Let me just make this comment, though, that what the Bahamas Bahamas is facing is not unique to the Bahamas. It's a global phenomenon, and we just have to deal with it. And as a government, we're dealing with it, and we take the credit and we take the fall. I don't run from that fact. Other than to say, I got an interesting comment about a month or so ago from a person I thought was a PLP supporter. I said, you know, I'm not much for the AFDM or your government, but you know, I'm really happy that your government is in charge during this time rather than the PLP government.
Absolutely.
I didn't ask for the comment.
Absolutely.
I didn't solicit the comment. I just thought it was an interesting comment. And I leave it there.
Minister Lang, if you can address the economic woes of the country and taking into account that the recession has bottomed out in some of the European countries, as I read just yesterday.
You know, first of all, let me say that I'm not sure what it was you read. The global economy is, well, I that's what I'm saying. I'm not sure what you read, but the global economy is interesting to this degree. As I explained to somebody earlier today, while we talk about recession as in countries actually having their economies contract, China's recession was a matter of going from an average 10% GDP growth to 6%. But so it never stopped growing. It just stopped growing as fast as it was growing. In Europe, you had economies that contracted, but you also had economies that just continued to experience slower growth than they were experiencing. But most countries, including the great United States of America and Canada and Japan, etc., had contractions, negative growth. Their economies were actually contracting. There is mixed information about what is happening right now. Even in the United States of America, the debate is still live about whether their recession has ended or not. The debate is still live. In some other countries, the debate remains live. So you're going to have these matters of opinion. For us, what we do know is our economic turnaround is very much linked to the global situation, and in particular to the U.S.'s situation. And to the extent that there continues to be uncertainty, though there are some signals that things could be improving in the United States of America, there remains uncertainty here as to how rapidly we will, or when we will actually find recovery in this economy. I share the view that things will not get any meaningfully worse going forward, all else being equal, and that it is conceivable, even as the central bank has indicated, that by mid next year we could see a turnaround, that is quite possible, all else being equal. And that's an optimism that I would love to embrace. But there continues to be uncertainty. There will continue to be a lingering higher level of unemployment in this country than we are accustomed to. And there will continue to be the need for the government to do three things, which is what we have sought to do throughout this crisis. And this was the leadership and the vision that was driving us throughout this crisis. We have to do three things. They're all things endorsed by the IMF. They're all things endorsed by most economic and fiscal leaders in the world. One, you want to ensure the integrity of your financial system, that there is liquidity in it, and that the capital assets in it are adequate to preserve the integrity of the institutions, the soundness of the institutions within your system. We are there. We have done that to date. Our reserve levels are reasonable. Liquidity in the system is high, and the banks are adequately capitalized to cope with any deterioration they've experienced on their in their portfolios. Secondly, we've sought to nurture this economy in the downturn by accelerating infrastructure projects where we can and injecting needed cash into the system to make up for the shortfall in what the private sector has been able to do today. And I think that largely that has been helpful to us to the extent that we've created some jobs and employment in the economy and helped to spread some monies in the economy. And that program hasn't even fully maxed itself out yet because some big projects haven't fully come on stream. But just finally, you have to aid the dislocated in this downturn. And we have been able to do that significantly either through the boosting of social services allocation to the tune of $12 million over 2 years, or the assistance we provided to people through their electricity situation, or the unemployment benefit program. All of those are part and parcel of a three-pronged attack in dealing with the crisis that has been visited upon us over the last couple of years.
Is it safe to say that foreign direct investment in the country is dried up?
It's not dried up. It slowed significantly from what we had become accustomed to over the last 15 years, but it continues to come in either on the land purchase side of things or the direct investment, but not certainly at the quantities and at the levels that we have become accustomed to. What is useful to us is that the interest in doing business in this country continues, though people are cautious in their approach because they are measuring that approach against the capacity to deal with the international financial system in funding some of their programs.
You are one of the representatives for Grand Bahama.
Yes.
And the Grand Bahamians are hurting. The economy is in the doldrums.
Mm-hmm.
What message do you have for them?
The same message as I have for them always. You know, one of the members of parliament from the other side wanted me to pronounce the death of Grand Bahama. I told him I do no such thing. In fact, I wanted to pronounce benediction on Grand Bahama, because where we are in Grand Bahama, we have been now before 2004.
But things are getting worse.
And, well, in Grand Bahama, things are getting marginally worse than they used to be, because things had gotten pretty much to bottom as we could get. But Grand Bahama is suffering and hurting significantly. But I'm optimistic about Grand Bahama's future. I'm very optimistic. What I wouldn't do in Grand Bahama is what used to be done to Grand Bahama between 2002 and 2007, where people came and announced these imminent things for Grand Bahama. Every month, it's imminent. We won't do that. We want it concrete, and then we'll come and announce it. But I'm optimistic that we're doing some things that would be very helpful to Grand Bahama.
The government of Bahamas is issuing some government registered stuff, $150 million of it.
Yes.
This is the kind of thing that any government would do under the circumstances. In terms of the fiscal responsibility of the government and the management of fiscal affairs, what is the essential difference between what you are doing now and what happened before you came to office in between 2002 and 2007?
Well, you know, what was interesting about what happened between 2002-2007 was, I think that we established some parameters and set a standard in the country for dealing with the fiscal affairs of the country that made it very difficult for anybody to depart from that if they wanted to. You know, prior to 2000 and prior to 1992.
But all governments of the Bahamas were conservative, eh?
No, sir.
No, sir.
Prior to 1992,
no.
The words debt to GDP ratio never even entered the dialogue of the country as we dealt with our fiscal affairs. Never entered. It was never a matter of target. And I remember the criticism of GFS deficit. I remember we got criticized. You're trying to balance the budget and people are hurting and so forth and so forth. And we always made the point that, listen, the reason why you keep cushion in your debt to GDP ratio is that when things turn bad, you have a means to borrow your way through a bad spell. And that discipline, which we kicked in between 92 and 2002, was a discipline which you had to go and argue with the IMF to violate. and you had to argue with Stand and Pause and all these people to violate, and that become very difficult. And people like James Smith, who would have known sensibly the value of that and would have endorsed remaining in those parameters, and I think largely did so.
Yes, because largely did so. Yes, I thought Stand and Pause gave the Christie administration high marks.
Largely did so, even though one could argue that a administration boasting unprecedented levels of growth still had levels of GFF deficit that did not suggest that the kind of discipline that should have been exercised in a unprecedented period of economic growth was exercised. Because in our tenure, we had GFS deficits that were near zero.
Yes, but Minister Lang and Mr. Zero. Rowell and Minister Turnquest, Senator Ferguson, many Bahamians who are in the financial services sector or who know about money, they know that the F&M in the first 10 years of government doubled the national debt.
That's untrue.
Okay, but tell us the extent to which
when we came to office, national debt of the Bahamas was almost $2 billion. When we left office, it was about $2.8 billion.
It was almost $2 billion, you left
2.8.
Let's say you added $900 million.
No, but why you want? I can tell you how much we add. We added in the 10-year period about $800 million.
That's a big jump, you know.
But you've had it fixed though, because you said doubled. I want you to compare that to what happened between 2002 and 2007. In 10 years versus 5 years. Check it out.
Between 2002 and 2007,
it was almost the same as what we did in 10 years.
I don't have the numbers before me, but it seems to me that your government, the F&M government, did a pretty good job in increasing the national debt of the Bahamas and increasing it significantly.
And also increasing the size of the economy. And that's why Minister Lang talks about GDP, debt to GDP is so important as an indicator, financial indicator, to indicate the level of solvency of a country.
But wouldn't you agree that all of the governments have been conservative in running the fiscal affairs of the Bahamas? How far back?
Not if you go way back.
We go between 1992 and the present.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking
conservative?
The Bahamas started before that.
I would have to concede that by and large, both administrations have been conservative on fiscal.
Are you now also saying that the PLP is trying to whitewash their history from 67 to 92? That's not a part of their 2002 and 2007 history?
Because you're missing a very significant point.
When you talk about the F&M from 1992 to 2009, you're talking about
the entirety of.
You're talking about 12 years of F&M governance.
Yes. Yeah.
And you have to put those 12 years of F&M governance against the 30 years of the PLP.
But I'm not here to defend the PLP. I'm just here asking questions.
The fact of the matter is that the economy of the Bahamas grew significantly
in the 25 years of the Pindling administration, as it did in the 10 years of your first.
The only point I want to make, Mr. Jones, is that you have to look at it in terms of the size of the economy. And so if you just take the raw numbers and don't relate it to anything, let's connect them to what was achieved.
Between 1992 and 2002, and you look at the $800 million that would have been spent. You could run into them, you could touch them, you could feel them, you could handle them, you could see them. Look at what happened in the spending between 2002 and 2007, and just show me physically, at least, where that was.
That wasn't
$600 million,
right.
$800 million was spent.
During a period of no schools, no new clinics. No, but not well. The one in Southwest New Providence, well, what is it called?
Anatol?
Yes.
You mean started. That one started.
But
I'm talking about $800 million in capital spending. I'm saying that you cannot find me, other than the one you want to point to, the start of a new school. Any completed new school in 5 years? Completed school?
Started with the...
The former minister talked about
the expansion of many high schools or secondary schools in the province.
Let's talk about the FNM record,
but we have to take a break here. We are having the special broadcast from the Free National Movement's headquarters on Mackey Street. We take this break and we'll come right back.
Sometimes life can wear you down. You can feel physically and mentally drained, exhausted. But you can't help yourself by taking Pharmaton. Pharmaton is a unique sugar-free blend of 21 vitamins and minerals plus G115, the only scientifically proven ginseng extract in the world. Pharmaton can put vitality into your life, making you more active, energetic, healthy, and happy. Don't let the parade pass you by. Take Pharmaton. Pharmaton adds life to your life.
Sure, they love me for my looks, but that's not all. Underneath this charming exterior, I'm packing hurricane-resistant aluminum that can weather any storm. I'm a total package. I'm strong, tough, I'm built to protect, and I'm way better looking than plywood. I'm a super shutter from CBS Bahamas.
Call us for a free on-site estimate for custom-built Bahama, colonial, roll-down, or accordion-style shutters today. CBS Bahamas. Build beautiful. Robinson Road, Nassau, Logwood Road, Freeport.
The Bahamas Hot Rod Association, Napa Auto Parts, and AID will put on the fourth annual Back to School Classic Drag Racing Event.